I see a lot of people out here in the streets, they want to come up to me, but they're not really sure. There's a lot of debate amongst their friends. They're like, hey man, are you sure that's him? If we go up there, we gotta be sure. Because if we go up there and it's not him, we're gonna look super racist. Are you sure that's not Ken Jeong? I don't know, looks kinda like Ali Wong, I don't know. And they come up to me, it's always like the first thing they say, like, hey man, aren't you that dude Jing Yang from that show Silicon Valley? And I was like, oh, thanks. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I am. And then they're like, oh shit, I didn't even know you speak English in real life. I'm like, it's called acting, motherfucker. Like, I'm like quasi-famous now. Nothing's really changed. I might get a free appetizer at select P.F. Chang's. That's about it. Nothing's really changed. I was still using Tinder up until like a year ago. This is a true story. But now I realize I got a whole new set of issues on Tinder. Like now when I do match with a girl, she doesn't believe that it's me. Like, that's not you. You're not that guy from this thing and that thing. I'm like, who the fuck is using me as a fake profile? You gotta dig real deep to use me, man. I feel like there's so many better choices out there. One time my agent told me that I had a good look. And I'm like, thanks, dude, I appreciate that. But then it took me years to realize that having a good look is totally different than being good looking. I still don't know what the fuck it means. And look, I'm not being self-deprecating, okay? That's Hollywood talk. I don't listen to that shit. I understand that in real life, I'm like super good looking. If you're into anime. You gotta get in where you fit in, people. One time I went over to the girl's house, she has this like Naruto anime poster in her bedroom. I knew I was fucking that night. Even the bedroom I gotta represent. After I hooked up with this one girl, this is what she said to me. She was like, Jimmy, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're the first Asian guy I've ever been with. I'm like, okay. What do you want, a fortune cookie? Like, what? Like, what do you want? She acted like she just unlocked a new character on Street Fighter or some shit. Why do you feel the need to say that? This one girl said this shit that was so disrespectful. This is what she said to me after we hooked up. She was like, Jimmy, I'm just glad the stereotype's not true. You don't have a small penis. And I'm like, bitch, you understand? You just insulted my entire race of people. But thank you. First of all, thank you for thinking that I did have a small penis and we still had sex. You're the real MVP. You get two fortune cookies tonight, miss. Thank you.
Often the museums are art museums, and those are the most intimidating, right? Because in art museums, they tell us what is the good art. We have no say in the matter. Like, that's good art.
Oh, okay. I'll take your word for it.
They treat everyone like a child in an art museum. They're like, don't touch anything. Nobody touch anything.
I wasn't gonna. Now I kind of want to.
Everyone's speaking in hushed tones. Be respectful. We're about to look at the work of a madman. He painted this after he chopped off his own ear.
Why are we whispering? Van Gogh's dead. Even if he was alive, he couldn't hear us.
Recently after a show, someone came up to me, they're like, you know, it's not pronounced Van Gogh, it's pronounced Billy Joel.
Kind of obsessed with not being interested in fashion. It's something I care deeply not about.
And I'm aware that not being into fashion is a fashion choice, right? How annoying is that? It's like, oh, you're not into fashion? That means you're in a normcore. Why can't I just wear clothes to cover my disgusting body? Why must it be a choice? Because the only choice I make when it comes to clothing is, does it still fit me? I don't know if you've had an opportunity to fat out of clothes. That's a special feeling. watershed moments in your life, right? When you hold your newborn child or you fat out of a t-shirt. It's amazing, because you don't even go to the obvious conclusion. You're like, well, this sure used to fit. I haven't grown since I was a teenager. Oh, I'm a fat ass. Well, time for a burrito. I'm always in trouble with my wife because I'm selfish, I'm lazy, insensitive, a bunch of other stuff she rattles on. And I understand being in trouble for stuff I've done, but sometimes I get in trouble for stuff other men have done. Once I got in trouble for something a guy did in a movie. I was watching a movie with my wife, and in the movie, there was this married guy with children who left his family for a 20-year-old woman. And I knew in that moment, I should sleep on the couch. And the movie ended, and my wife looked at me, and she was like, why would someone do that? And I was like, it was in the script. I didn't say that. I just said, where do you want me to sleep? I still have all the clothes that don't fit me. They're in my closet in case I have a dramatic weight loss over a weekend. It's ridiculous. It's like I'm curating an exhibit of my weight gain. Well, that suit was from 30 pounds ago, and that sweater was from last winter, and this shirt never fit. Have you done that? Have you bought clothes that don't fit thinking that'll be the incentive to lose weight? It's like, well, I've only gained weight for the last 40 years. Maybe this shirt will turn it around. How'd you lose weight? I bought a shirt. It worked.
My husband is very smart and very quiet and an introvert and does very well. And then married me. And we've been exactly the opposite, but it has worked. He's a big man. He's 6'4". He can kick a door in, and I like that. He works like a dog, and he loves a baby. Let me tell y'all that he is a baby cuddler at East Tennessee Children's Hospital. He cuddles the drug-dependent babies every week of the world as a volunteer. I know, sweet. He didn't help me with mine. Because he was out making a living and paying for all this. We've got two still in college, and I wanted a fourth baby so bad when my baby child went to kindergarten. I nearly grieved myself to death. I thought, Lord, what am I going to do with all this time on my hands? I hope I don't get hooked on whiskey and start honky-tonking. And about 3 weeks into her going to kindergarten, I was like, woohoo! Woohoo! Now I can go get a pap smear without somebody sitting on my head. But my husband, when I dropped her off, he said, meet me at the IHOP. Because he knows that pancakes get me through a hard time. And I was crying, and I said, I want another baby. And he said, why don't you get a job? Yeah, right. So I said, I want a fourth baby. And he said, y'all are sucking the financial life out of me. So he bought me a dachshund. I had that dachshund for years. She's gone now. But let me tell you, she and I both got thyroid issues. She had cushions. I was walking her in our neighborhood one day, and a little girl came out in her driveway, and she said, can I pet your groundhog? Oh, y'all. So about my husband. All right, so my husband is a big man and is 6'4". I'm 5'8". We breed big kids. And we wanted them to be in sports and when they were growing up. And so we made them do all kinds of mess they didn't want to do. And we put our boy, when he was little bitty, we put him in T-ball. He hated it. I don't know if any of y'all have had a baby play T-ball, but for those of you who don't know, T-ball season, it's about 110 degrees outside. It's little children that are four look like they've got a diaper on under their baseball pants or a pull-up. The games last about 3 hours. Nobody ever hits the ball, throws the ball, catches the ball, makes contact with the ball. My baby laid in a fetal position in the outfield the entire season. He never touched a ball. Every once in a while, he'd pop his little head up and say, "Water." One game, it was so hot, and I told the middle one to go out and take her brother a water bottle. She was about 2 and a half. And she went walking out there with a tutu and a crayon and a wand and her pink prostitute shoes from Walmart. She walked about halfway, stopped, got a glazed look over her eyes, pulled her little panties to the side, and pooped in the T-ball field. She really did. So I had to run out there and get a stick and flick it into the woods because I didn't want another child to step in it or think it was a milk dud.
And this is where the whole system kicks in. This is why you end up with kids. You need new material. You need someone else to talk to, and then you create the worst roommates on the planet. Horrible people to live with. Horrible. If you don't have kids, imagine having a roommate that comes into your room, takes something you love, smashes it in front of you, and then walks out of the room. Then comes back, pees on it, and laughs in your face. They're animals. You ever open up a pack of M&Ms around little kids? They come at you like goats in a petting zoo. No hands, just heads. And that's what brings you back together. You're like, I hate them. I hate them too. I love you. I love you too. The worst part is that they don't really like you that much. Kids don't. I like my kids. I like them a lot. They don't like me. They don't. If you like someone, would you walk up to them when they're reading the paper and just tear it out of their hands? No, you wouldn't do that. Would you cock block them every night of the week? Not to someone you liked. They just look at me as a source for food, and they'll lie right to my face, right to my face. They will. They don't care. They don't care. This is the thing. You love kids in an uncontrollable way. Like, if you love another person, you're in love with your guy or your girl, you can control. You can put the brakes on. I'm going to love her this much. I don't want to expose myself. I'm going to keep it back. Kids, there's a cascading love. It's helpless. You will kill for them, and you're in free fall. And they look at you like, nah, I could do better. If I get some of those keys that he's got, I'm out of here. My little one came up to me last week. I want some Teddy Grahams. Give me some Teddy Grahams. No, you just had Teddy Grahams. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I gave them to you. Now, why do you gotta go make me upset? Just get me some Teddy Grahams. What are you, a little white pimp? Who's in my kitchen? Just give me some mother-loving Teddy Grahams. What are you jibber-jabber? I would just give me my arms were long, I would get the Teddy Grahams myself. Why are you gonna be, who are you in my house? But I found something out. If you ever end up with kids and you want a little advantage over them, raise them here in New York because the weather is so bad, it creates gloomy children. It's perfect. We were in LA and the sunshine, the kids were so filled with joy and hope and energy and every day. Can we go to the park? Can we throw a ball? Can we go in the pool? Can we? Annoying. Here, they just sit in the apartment and stare out at the rain for hours. They just watch the water falling, and they get all sad and pensive and contemplate what went wrong in their first 7 years on the planet, and they realize I can't help, and I'm just reading a book, and I'm happy. It's so much better.
I'm thinking about going down to the DMV and having taken my license away. I'm a terrible driver, and I was the best driver. I was a driver who would go, look at this guy, look at that guy, look at that woman, look at this. All terrible. Now I used to drive with one finger. Remember those days with those big automatics? Where are we going? We're going where we want. That's where we're going. Hold on, get my knee driving. You know, to get the sandwich. Now I get in the car, I'm not even sure it's mine. I bought a blue car. I grab the wheel like I'm on a ship.
Yell again!
People honk at me. That's when I knew it was starting to go bad. Beep! What the? What was so? What'd I do? Oh, geez, I'm going 7. Sorry. 7 seemed fast. I'm always apologizing when there's no one. Sorry. I'll go 10 next time. They've already gone by giving me the finger. And as soon as you hit 50, you start hitting curbs. Bam! Did I hit someone? You hit the curb. When did they put that in? When they built a street. I didn't see it. I don't back up either. I don't back up. I power right through that curb. And I lie to people. What happened to your wheel? That damn valet guy. All 4 of them? He's persistent. Sometimes I'll be out driving and I'll think to myself, huh, where am I off to? I gotta do the fake call home. Hey. You want anything when I'm over there? At the dentist? Oh, thank you. I'm gonna get you some floss. The minty kind. You slow the car down when you're older? What is that, a new Walgreens? Whoever thought drugstores were going to be so interesting? Look at this thing. It keeps your toes apart. I knew they would eventually web.
The older y'all get, y'all think y'all age like fine wine. Y'all don't think y'all look messed up at all. Y'all think y'all just get better. And that's our fault. Because we make you believe that. But it really ain't true. We don't say nothing. We just look at you and laugh to ourselves. We be like, look at my boo. He look horrible. Look at him. We do. We don't talk about you. We just keep loving you. You know, y'all talk about us. Oh, you fat. You gain weight. You don't cook anymore. Okay, well, ask him sometime when he say that, where's the man on the picture over top of the fireplace? Why he don't come home no more? Where his sexy ass at? Why your Bookman bodybuild ass keep coming up in here? The man right there in the white suit, where he at? They don't think they change. And when they gain weight, it's not the same as when we gain weight. They think they're sexy. Them big bellies, they call that love. It is, fat love. Then some of them get fat and start being built like they mama. Get all fat up in the hips. I call it that Miss Linda body build. Build like Miss Linda. I was sitting on the couch watching a movie with my friend. He went to get some ice, right? He walking to the kitchen. I'm laughing. I'm like, look at him built like Miss Linda. He think he's sexy with them childbearing hips. I said, look at him. This how he walking. You want, what you want to drink, a Pepsi with them fat ass hips? I was cracking up laughing, right? He said, why, what you laughing at? I said, the movie. I thought you put it on pause. I'm laughing at the part from before then. Walking in there with them sexy thighs. We went over his mother's house for Thanksgiving, so she came outside, right, to help him get some food out the car. So they walking back to the house. I'm behind them in tears laughing. I said, look at Linda Jr. and Senior. He was like, I got it, Mama. She said, I'm just trying to help you. They don't think they get fat. Them fat here. Got sexy thighs, and you talking about somebody gain weight. We need some gym memberships around here. And they don't go to the doctor. They do not. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. Y'all don't like the doctor, but it's okay. We went out to eat. He can't even order. He got to go to the bathroom. He keep peeing so much, he can't even order his food. Every few minutes, with them fat hips, I'll be right back, babe. I'll be right back, babe. I said, damn. 4 sips of water mess you up like that? You need to get your prostate checked. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm riding till the wheels fall off. I said, well, you ain't got but 2 wheels left. You already on a motorcycle. You gonna just flip off, huh? I'm taking vitamins, but I ain't working. Then the waitress came over there. He gonna order a drink. I told the waitress, you might as well move our table by the bathroom. Cause they be cleaning the kitchen by the time his pissy ass on. Keep peeing. One time we went to a wedding reception. We couldn't even hardly get to the reception. We stopping at a gas station. I'll be right back. I'll be right back. You ain't gonna ask me, you thirsty? I said, no, and neither are you. They be on the damn honeymoon before we pull up. Get your pissy ass in the car.